So I've got the pleasure today of listening and talking with Wayne from BCPC Council, BCP Council.
BCP Council. Yep.
We've been working on one of the farms alongside the children and thinking about his broad. Can you describe the breadth of your experience? Because you obviously come across lots of different schools and lots of different behaviour policies.
Yeah, sure. So my work encapsulates all children with a social worker, children in care, and improving outcomes for that cohort, and also more recently, sort of Ukrainian refugee children as well. And I think what we find is we find quite often that the needs of this cohort rub up against the needs of a behaviour policy or an overarching behaviour policy in a school, and they're adversarial and they create conflict where maybe they shouldn't be.
And when you say they're adversarial, that essentially the child feels sort of under pressure, and sometimes listening to them today, some of them are saying they feel almost attacked by the policy.
There's an unintended consequence of some of the stricter policies that I think puts children and teachers in opposition to each other, rather than in sort of collab rather than encouraging them to work together.
So long term, if they are oppositional, you're not going to get the gains you're looking for as a teacher with that child.
There's the relationship, the safety factor is that there's a prerequisite to even starting with the learning is important for me.
So relationship. Particularly, I'm thinking about something you said earlier. This is a you're working with quite a vulnerable cohort of young people who've had really often adversarial experiences in life and are looking or needing to rebuild trust in adults in order to learn, because unless children feel open to learning and have secure attachment, they shut down or they react. But yes, it was interesting some of the things that you were saying about that, because I can see that their interpretation, the child's interpretation of what's happening, is that it's persecutory rather than in their interests. And how do you, when you see schools where it is working better, Wayne, what are you seeing?
I think that the real challenge in that is that actually we recognise that actually a lot of the behaviour policies work very well for a lot of the children, for the majority of the children. The concern is that minority of the children where that behaviour policy isn't functioning appropriately. And I think it's a mistaken view to think that that minority should conform with the majority in that way. Where actually, if you were able to meet the needs of that minority of pupils, the majority of the pupils would still continue to excel within the parameters of that policy.
And the minority of the students who aren't thriving are the ones who the teachers are saying hold them back from feeling that they're having an effective relationship and outcomes with their pupils. So the tragedy is that unless we attend to, as one head teacher said to me, it might be the 5% of his school. You're actually damaging the opportunity of the 95%.
Yeah, absolutely. And meeting the needs of that smaller percentage will not be detrimental to the advancement academically or otherwise of the rest of the school community. I think that's the mistake that we often make, is the assumption that somehow to attend to the needs of a minority of our school population would be to the detriment of the majority. And I don't think that automatically follows. I think it could be the case, but I don't think we should assume that that's an inevitability. And there are ways of doing it which would prevent that from happening.
So what if, when you've seen good practice or policies that you think are more in favour of developing the whole child and helping this smaller percentage thrive, what are you seeing that you think we need to hold on to or move
I
towards?
think it comes back to an idea that we discussed at our virtual school conference in, I think it was November of 2022, which was the idea that the policies are more relational policies rather than behavioural policies. And so it's not a, we're not setting in place a series of preconditions or behavioural bottom lines that need to be adhered to or not violated. We're looking at the quality of our relationships. And then that helps us look at a behavior and see what it means. What is it telling us about a child rather than, and then what does a child need in that regard rather than does the child always need stricter discipline, more sanctions, a tougher line?
Yeah, because my experience is children like you to have a clear line. They like boundaries. They like quite strict teachers to the degree that they feel that you are in control rather than out of control. What they hate is when they talk about teachers who end up shouting at them, or the teachers that one young man has just talked to me about how he likes a calm teacher who has the capacity to listen. And within that calmness, I think it isn't that you don't have authority or take the role of adult, but I do think it is about the quality of interest, care, curiosity, and understanding that often the behaviour is a communication rather than just something done to break a rule.
Indeed. And the other thing I think I'd add to that is that a lot of the children that we work with, fairness is a huge thing, or at least the perception of. And it may be that a decision isn't unfair, but again, the fact that they perceive it actually a fair decision as unfair is something that they need to be supported with.
Yes.
So it's. I think my view is that any reaction to whatever you as a professional are doing is telling you something about what the child needs. And you need to always be looking at what, okay, fine, that's not what I expected or that's not what I wanted, but it's what I got. So what do I do with that? Now, what's that telling me? Particularly when it's an unexpected or an unjustified, in your view, unjustified response to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
What is that's something unique and really important that's telling you about what the child's needs are at that point.
Yeah. It's unpicking it, isn't it? Yeah. A young man I've just been talking to here saying that he acknowledged that, you know, he messes about in most classes, that he gets sent out, that he's clearly in his description of adults, he doesn't trust them because he comes from a base where adults have let him down very badly. But what I see is that within 10 minutes of acknowledging that with him, he was working incredibly collaboratively in a team with adults as part of that team, because somewhere there was an acknowledgement of what was going on for him. And sometimes that's helping name it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's saying that that when we're angry, we're actually upset, and unpicking a bit what that is. But when children don't feel safe enough to demonstrate that they are feeling vulnerable, of course they go to trying to take control or trying to get slung out or trying to prove that they're bad, because deep down that's how they feel. Yeah. So it feels so sad that the behavioural policies somewhere leapfrog over a lot of that, which is stuff that needs to be processed for this child to get on and thrive in life, and instead just reinforce a perception of themselves as being at the bottom of the pile.
True. And also, can then, and it's not fair on teachers either, because it can reinforce, it's probably unintentionally, but it almost encourages, I would say, actually, in some cases, for a teacher to adopt a negative attitude to a child, where if you were to reframe it, the assessment of the situation would be more charitable from the professional in question. I think that's an important point. Because we all know that schools are under tremendous pressure. We all know that, you know, real terms, funding is not what it was, and all of that. And we all know that there's always a government push to improve standards, whatever the latest definition of that might be. I think that sometimes, actually, one of the ways to do that would be to not always be constantly pressing and pressing and pressing to move forward at a greater pace, but rather to take stock, make sure the conditions for learning are in place, and then let the learning take place, rather than jumping over that and creating an environment where, actually, a classroom environment where some of these kids absolutely won't learn because we're not even getting them into a headspace where learning would even be possible.
They're not at first base, are they?
No.
Which is engagement, and engagement is about relationships. So maybe more time spent building positive relationships. I know time is a luxury in schools, but I think some of that preventative work where you, children will eat out of the palm of your hand if they feel you like them. So getting them there, it seems like time really well invested. Whereas if they feel the rules supersede the relationships and any of those other positive strokes, if you like, that we've lost them. and we haven't just lost them now, they might well be lost to themselves and society for the rest of their lives, because they'll define themselves in that way.
And the other risk then is as well, if we lose them to the teaching profession or the teachers who are for long parts of the week, large parts of the year, a first port of call for them, when we need to escalate our concerns through MASH referrals, whatever, if we've already got that seed of distrust with adults and professionals and people in positions of perceived authority or whatever that is, the social care intervention, for example, is less likely to be successful, because there's another barrier that social workers got to get down, that inherent distrust of an adult that's already been fostered by other parts of the system.
Now, that's tragic to think that so often teachers are inadvertently reinforcing the forms of what children call abuse in a way, not because they intend to, but because they're following a rigid policy that says if you speak out of turn or something, you leave the class.
And that's the important part to remember, is that I'm not for a second saying that that's what teachers are doing. I'm saying that that's what the policies are putting them in a position where they cannot, where they can't do anything else.
Yes.
It's the inflexibility. It's the, and I know we've talked about this, the risk as well of that in having such a rigid escalation policy within a behaviour policy, or so quick to go from sort of to quite an extreme sanction, quite a serious sanction, there's also the risk that you're de-skilling your staff in terms of their basic ability to deliver a curriculum, adapt their teaching to the needs of individuals within that classroom, and even manage a classroom space. Because if the first infraction in a classroom merits an on-call, when are your teachers ever going to learn or develop the ability to manage a classroom if it immediately becomes a matter for a head of year or a leadership team or the pastoral team? And, you know, as we said, the concern around the number of people leaving teaching after a very short period of time suggests to me that people aren't coming into the profession and thinking this is great and I'm really loving working with these kids for whatever reason. And I hypothesize around, well, how much of that is to do with the fact that sometimes we almost take newly qualified teachers, or any teachers, but particularly, I suppose, the newly qualified in this context, and say to them, we're putting you in opposition, almost by default.
Yeah, and it's tragic because they've gone into teaching usually because they quite like children and want to relate to them. And we're not actually assisting that building of those places where the teacher gets the feedback loop of, I had a good session, I enjoyed teaching those kids, they engaged. So it does feel to me like I understand where these more rigid behaviour policies are coming from, because children are more disorganised internally, they've had less of a sense of routine, they've got less self-management because they've often been left to their own devices. But actually, I think it's about social relationships and bringing them into a context where they learn to socialise in appropriate and caring ways. And what we see across Jamie's Farms day in, day out, is these extraordinary children who might be in that adversarial position at school, who demonstrate such kindness, generosity and wisdom when not under feeling under the cosh, when able to feel that they can show that. Thank you. Very good to talk to you and to learn from your more bird's eye view of seeing lots of different schools.